The wizard.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Into the Dark. We've got a great show for you today. We're talking about sex magic. And playing my interview I did with sex magician and burlesque dancer Veronica Varlo. It's going to be great. But before we get to that, business before pleasure. We got a Patreon campaign going on right now. And if you want to throw us a few dollars, help us keep the lights on, we would surely appreciate it. So check us out at patreon.com. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. I'll see you guys after the theme music. Stick tuned for Into the Dark.
Skeptic among believers and the believer among skeptics.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Who are the witches?
Magic, necromancy, and witchcraft.
Wake up! They're all about you! All around you!
They're not always evil.
The often erotic world of the witch.
The journalist with an inside knowledge of witchcraft.
It's a sex thing deep down, of course.
Oh, it is a sex thing deep down, of course. Hey, everybody, welcome to Into the Dark, only on Radio Free Brooklyn, the show that takes you to every witchy where and when you've ever wondered about. Today's an important day because we are 6 months on either side of Valentine's Day, this being August the 14th, 8/14. So let's talk about sex. We're also, in addition to talking about sex in my interview with sex magician Veronica Varlo, I'm also going to be answering some of your listener questions about magic. And most of those are going to be in the back half of the show, but there's one that is sexual enough that I feel like it needs to come first. Dear Into the Dark, can you use magic to make somebody impotent? This is a great question. I'm a little reluctant to answer this because, I mean, as much as some people do deserve to have bad things happen to them, impotence is one of those things that people kind of blow out of proportion.
Don't they know it's the end of the world?
And in a lot of ways, the history of the persecution of witchcraft is deeply linked with the history of people assuming that the reason why they are impotent is because of witchcraft. Ovid, a Roman poet around the sort of BC-AD transition, thought he was impotent because somebody was sticking pins into a wax doll of him. In the Malleus Maleficarum, the witch hunting manual of medieval lore that got a lot of people burned at the stake, they quote a report from a German theologian named Heinrich Kramer. And Cromer was used to support the notion that witches were not only making men impotent, but literally stealing their penises off of their bodies in the style of John Wayne. Sorry, not John Wayne. John Wayne Bobbitt, my mistake. But in the Malleus Maleficarum, his 1485 treatise on this subject is quoted with, "Witches collect male organs in great numbers, as many as 20 or 30 members together, and put them in birds' nests or shut them in a box." But they don't stop there. He also said, quote, "They make themselves like living members and eat oats and corn and have been seen by many." Apparently also it was suggested that if you wanted to get your stolen penis back, you just need to ask the witch real nice, and she might, if she wanted to be nice, tell you which tree to climb to find your penis. And as much as we can sort of laugh about a thing like this, you have to remember that these charges haven't completely stopped. A woman was convicted of making a man impotent using witchcraft in 2008 in Saudi Arabia. There have also been a number of accusations made in a number of countries, including Ghana, Central African Republic and Congo. So, it's a serious thing. And the thing is, it's dangerous information to put out there a little bit, but I take your questions very seriously. So, because I was going to be talking to a sex magician, I decided to ask her. You know, it's sort of in the wheelhouse of sex magic. Do you know of a spell to make somebody impotent? And her response was...
Oh God, no. I work in the opposite direction.
But magic goes in both directions. So I did some digging around, and I found two spells you can use to make a man impotent. Unfortunately, none of these can be used at a distance. So if you want to make someone you see on the TV impotent, sorry, you're going to have to figure something else out. But spell number one goes like this. Collect a sample of semen from the man you want to make impotent. On some sort of cloth, tie 7 knots in that cloth, and then tie it to a weight and throw it into the bottom of a river. The man will remain impotent until that cloth is retrieved from underneath the waves. Another method that requires a bit more trust on the part of your victim is to take a sample of his semen and mash it with some banana, and then take that slurry of semen and banana, make it into some sort of tasty treat, get him to eat it, and then once he's done that, take whatever you use to collect that sample of semen, use condom, cloth, something like that, bury it in a graveyard. Grim stuff. But this is a dark and grim subject. Thank you so much for that question. If you have questions about magic, witchcraft, how to do things, spells for purposes of all kinds, we're a resource for the community. So send those questions to intothedarkrfb@gmail.com. That's intothedarkrfb@gmail.com. RFB as in Radio Free Brooklyn, because that's what you're listening to right now. Good work. So now we're going to move on to my interview with Veronica Varlo. Veronica Varlo is a sex magician, teacher of witchcraft, burlesque dancer, tarot reader, an all-around fantastic witchy person. And she was willing to take some time out of her schedule to talk with me. And I went to her apartment, which is in many ways a haven of witchy goodness. There was a 100-year-old Ouija board on the wall. There were books on palmistry hung up from decades and decades past. And we had a nice meandering chat about witchcraft, sex magic, mirror magic, and there's even a love spell in there for you if you want one. Want to make someone fall in love with you. And before we begin, I only want to have the one caveat out there. If Veronica Varlo's parents are listening, stop. Let's just jump right in.
Let's just dive in it.
Right to fourth base.
Yes.
What is sex magic? Okay. Give me the skinny.
I'm going to give you the skinny on the sex magic. Basically, this is the basic concept of it, is that my working with it and all the concepts that I'm giving to you are things that I have worked with and things that I've worked with in classes and in life. All of my stuff that I'm going to be talking about today is stuff from me. I have not read a single book about it.
Okay.
Which is interesting because I feel like it's innate in every single one of us to kind of uncover our own version of what that is. what sex magic is and what it means to you. But in my world, I feel that at the moment, scientifically, at the moment that you are reaching orgasm, your heart actually stops beating for a moment. Now, in a magical sense, this technically means that you are dead for a moment. And that's why all of these crazy endorphins are running through your body. And when you are dead, and when you are on the other side, you have the ability to control and manipulate your world or anything that you need to have happen. You are literally holding the pen over the dreams of your life at that moment. So, if you are concentrating on manifesting something, or manifesting magic in your life, and this is solo sex magic with a partner, it will bring you the things fastest, I found, from doing magic my entire life and being raised with magic. Sex magic, I feel like, is the most powerful magic that we have as human beings. When it is treated as almost, it has to be treated sacredly. It has to be treated as if you are going to church or temple or whatever your place of worship is, which mine is in the bedroom. Yay!
Fair. you mentioned making something manifest at that moment when your heart stops beating and you're basically dead. How, like, do you just hold an image in your mind? Is it sort of a verbal thing? Like, what's the tool to sort of direct that energy toward a goal or something
like that? That is an excellent question. So there's a couple different ways. There's a couple different things that I do. I just wanted to give our darling listeners the basic principles in a quick moment of what sex magic is about.
And you did a great job.
So yeah. Thank you. Thanks. So it's good to be dead sometimes. It feels fantastic. Basically, if you are doing this alone, so I'm just going to do solo style for a second. So if you're working on sex magic alone, one of the things that I have done in the past is I collect postcards. So I laid different postcards of places all over the world over my bed. And then as I was feeling like that moment was going to happen, there was a postcard of Paris that was closest to me. And I just kind of grabbed it and looked at it and visualized myself in that moment. Like, I'm in that space. This is what's happening. Because we all know, like, if you can direct that energy, yeah, that energy is the most... there is no other energy like that energy. And it is so pure, and it is the most incredible, intense energy that we as human beings can put out. So if you are visually looking at something when this moment is happening, that is really going to drive you right there. I will say that about 7 months after that experience,
yeah,
I got to leave the country for the very first time, and I went to Paris. And I will say that it was a random thing that happened as I toured with this amazing musician, Emily Autumn, and the Bloody Crumpets, my friends and my sisters. And out of nowhere, I got this thing, and they were just like, get on a plane, we're going, and this is what's happening. And I started touring the world with them. So who knows? I mean, I'd like to think that those incredible, amazing orgasms got me everything I wanted.
So did you just do that the one time looking for Paris, or did you do it a number of times in the intervening 7 months? Like, was that one just like the, like, that was good enough to like set the cogs going?
I feel like it set the cogs going. I like that idea. It started it. And then it was interesting. I was teaching a spellbinding burlesque class with Joe Weldon at the School of Burlesque, which I will be teaching. I think we're looking at September, October, teaching it again. And one of the things I do is stories, which is basically a mind journey or a meditation. And I was leading all of the women through the story about them performing in Paris. So they close their eyes. I lead them through this whole entire thing. I walk them down the stairs. So I'm counting backwards. It's kind of a hypnotizing mind journey. And I did it for several levels of that class, the same story. The end of it, happens where they're all together, they're about, like, people are calling their name, screaming their name from the audience, there is a curtain, they're behind the curtain, they're about to be announced, and the curtain is about to open, and it is this sold-out show that they are performing for Les Gap. So I also did tell that story with serious intent to several groups of women over that course of that 6 months, and they were in Paris in this mind journey. And I think from doing that with intent to try to help them, I was also imagining myself doing the same thing. And oddly enough, having never been, I mean, people don't wait outside for you and scream your name in burlesque. It doesn't really happen. But in the story, I made that happen. And it's interesting, out of nowhere, like I said, Emily Autumn contacted me. I started going on this thing. The very first opening show that I had with her doing burlesque was next to the Moulin Rouge in Paris. And when we arrived, there was all of these fans, because she's massive. There was all of these fans waiting outside, freaking out. And they knew us, and they had presents for us, and it was this bizarre thing. So I'm just like, this is very strange, because I've been telling basically some kind of semblance of the story, and here I am.
So you just, like, harness the power of everybody in that room to send you to... That's awesome.
Yes. But I didn't intentionally do that, but I was so obsessed with the idea of going and doing this thing. But other things you can do... there's a lot of different things you could do. You can write down things that you want to be. I'm really into writing down adjectives.
Okay.
So if you, like, say you were walking out the room right now,
uh-huh,
and you left your recorder going, and I was like, that Cooper, he's so magnetic, he's so lovely, he's so handsome, he's so charming, he's so smart, he's so... No.
Oh, God.
What?
Don't stop. No,
just
go
right,
on.
Right, right. Yeah. He's amazing. So if what are those adjectives that you would want me to say when you walked out of the room? So I think, listeners, if you would listen, my darling listeners, do we have a name for the listeners?
I forgot they were there.
Do they have a special?
I think I've referred to them as you guys a number of times, because I'm a very serious wizard and radio host. Also, maybe everybody. I don't really remember. If you're a long-term listener to Into the Dark, you can go back and look at past episodes on iTunes and figure out what I've used to refer to you. That's a homework project for later. But anyway, you were saying, I'm sorry, yeah?
I think they should have a name. We should, it's gotta be culty. We need to do a little culty situation. Y'all ready to be in this cult or what?
Yeah. Wait, yes. What should we call our cult members?
I don't know.
Our
lucky. Besides lucky, honey. But anyway. Hey!
our acolytes. The followers of the dark. These are drafts. But you were saying.
So basically, so you guys listening to this fine and fabulous show, you want to think about what would you want, what are those adjectives that you want to be, that you would like other people to call you? Because words are wands. And if you are... You know, they're extremely powerful, and what you put out there and what you... We're writing stories of ourselves. So you need to write your own adjectives of what you want to put out there, and people will pick up on them. We all kind of have these, like, antennae. It's hard to explain, but I feel like people pick up on that. And if you're down on yourself all the time, or you can't accept a compliment, or you can't do those things, I feel like other people will write your adjectives for you. But if you take the seat and you're like, I'm going to write these adjectives, this is what's going to happen, this is what I'm putting out there about me. So if you write those adjectives, rock a little solo sex magic, have the adjectives on the thing, and just see yourself as being those. See yourself and, like, how you're feeling when you're doing that. Another thing you can do is that I'm really into mirror magic as well.
Tell me about mirror magic, because I'm not familiar.
Oh, it's my jam. It is my jam. All the mirrors that are, and they're all enchanted. That is enchant. That a major spell is happening on this mirror over here, listeners, that you cannot see. But that's a major spell that we can talk about some other broadcast or time. But so what happens is basically, all right, you ready for a deep concept?
Do it.
It's super crazy.
I'm excited.
Let's do this. Okay, so my grandmother, her name was Helen. She was Czechoslovakian. My great-grandmother came from Czechoslovakia. Her name was Anna. Anna showed my grandma all these traditions. My grandma taught me. She never once called it magic, but it is.
Right.
And I was raised on this. She was a card reader. She did all this stuff. All of the things that I do are from her. My grandmother believed that time is not linear. So just like, I mean, Albert Einstein says time is not linear. So that means right now, you are 5 years old. You are 25 years old. You are 75 years old. And you are also dead.
Okay.
You're also crossed over on the other side. Right now, at this moment.
Okay.
Okay? Because if time is going all at the same time, you're not even born yet. You're 5. You're 17. All of these things, right?
Okay.
Now, who would want to take care of you and guide you and lead you through your story of life better than anyone?
The past or future you?
Exactly.
Yes!
Now! Gold
yes!
Star! Gold star.
I am a real wizard. Please continue. Sorry.
So what you do is my grandmother believed that if you look at your own eyes in the mirror, you can access. So you don't look at your facial features. You just look at your eyes. You can access your self on the other side. And you could get information from them psychically, mentally. Telepathically.
So would this be limited to information that you're going to know in the future, or could it include things that you would know on the other side because the dead possess knowledge that the living do not possess?
Yes.
Okay.
That is it.
Cool.
So basically, I know this is a really intense concept to just like throw out on a show, but basically, if you just keep looking at your eyes in the mirror, you can, your other side self is so powerful. And fucking perfect. Oh, sorry.
It's fine. We're community radio. You can swear all you want.
Yay! Okay, so your other side self is fucking perfect. Your other side self is not worried about all of your shame, all of your problems that you feel like, or your insecurities and all that. Gone over there. It is not happening over there. You're just rocking it out proper style on the other side. So when, before I do burlesque shows, getting back to the sex part, or the sensual part, when I do burlesque shows, before I go on, I make sure to stare at my eyes in the mirror. And what I will do is take a brush and I will start the brush from the top of my head, the crown of my head, and kind of drag it down my hair, because that will kind of hypnotize you. It's a form of hypnotizing.
Hmm.
So for instance, if we, in a sex magic situation, just jumping quickly, in a sex magic situation, if we are making this sex thing happen, right, and you're with your partner and you are facing them and you take your fingertips and kind of drag them from the crown of their head and go down, it's this kind of opening slash hypnotizing slash calming feeling that happens. And when you do that, it's like you can open to receive more. It's just like when you go to get your hair done and somebody washes your hair and you're just like, this is fucking great, why is this not happening every single day? Because it gets you to this like calming spot and you immediately open up your brain. I read tarot.
Okay.
Before I read tarot clients, I will ask them if I could touch the top of their head, their ears, their throat, and over their heart. Because if they let me do that, I can kind of open them up psychically so that we can talk to each other. And then anything that I need to know about them or any communication from their spirits or their people, I can receive. So, going back to the mirror.
Yeah.
What you can do is you can take paint. I actually have some here. That is like gold Krylon paint. It's like body paint. It's non-toxic. You could get it at like Halloween Adventure kind of thing, or like just go on the internet, look for non-toxic body paint. So you can take gold body paint and you could literally write a word that you want to be and write it backwards so that in the mirror it will be forwards.
Oh.
Now, this is where my kink comes in, because people, I am the kink. So what you can do is when you are working on some solo sex magic, you can actually, at the moment that you're ready to die, You can look at yourself in the mirror and literally see the word that you want to encompass on your chest and see you in the state as it's happening. Bang. Not only are you working with other side magic, but you are also working with sex magic, with words or wands, with creating who you want to be. And it's pretty fucking intense. I know I'm going deep. I'm going deep right off the bat.
This is solid
gold.
This is like eight levels of magic I'm talking about. Every sort of thing we would need for the show. So you've been a burlesque performer for years now.
10 years.
Congratulations!
Yeah, I just had my decade stripping. Yay!
Do you ever make what role does burlesque play in sex magic or vice versa? Like, do you like? Because I would presume that there's a lot of sexual energy in the room. Are you harnessing that? Are you using that? Are you making this some sort of like larger, like mega ritual kind of thing?
It is a mega ritual. That is exactly it, Cooper. You know exactly what the fuck is going on. I will tell you that when I'm on the go-go box in between doing acts,
What is a go-go box?
Okay, so what happens is that I perform at the Slipper Room often. Little plug, Slipper Room is amazing. If we could do that, I don't know. It's my home. It's my burlesque home. And all my friends and heart and family are there. And basically what happens is you do two numbers. And in between your two numbers, there's like a set. So there's like five people that perform. Then there's a go-go where everybody kind of gets a break so that they can change into costumes of the next show. And one of us goes out and go-goes.
Okay.
And when I go-go, that is my moment of temple. When I am dancing, I am on this platform above the crowd, and the energy is I am just channeling this sacred sensual that we so desperately need in a world of random fucking hookups, Tinder, and all that bullshit. Yes, I said that because that's how I feel. And I feel like if we are a little bit more sacred to each other and go a little bit deeper, the world would be pretty amazing. Because I'm telling you, once you go deeper in all of these realms, everything is so much more full and incredible. And when I'm on that go-go box, I feel like the energy, because people come up and like bring you money to lay at your feet or in your G-string or whatever. And I feel like in those moments that we're having this exchange, like, it's fun. It's this human interaction. It's not this whatever thing that happens. And in burlesque and dancing, there's two things that I want to tell you that are traditions of my family in Czechoslovakia. That one, if a stranger comes to your house, they should be danced in by the woman of the house. The woman of the house.
Danced in. Like,
the woman of the house would lead the person into the home, because if the woman of the home doesn't go and get the person at the door, the stranger at the door, the spirits will attack the person at the door if they're not brought in by the woman of the house, who kind of guides them in.
Okay.
And when I say dance, there's not like a choreo routine.
Okay.
It is just like a sachet, honey. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're dancing.
A little few steps. Yeah.
A little few steps.
Something.
Like when I was leading you up this 4-floor walk up and we were sweating like crazy.
Did you dance me in?
I danced you in.
Thank you.
So the spirits are not attacking you in this house. You can thank me for that. But I do have a chihuahua that might do that. And the second thing is that another tradition is that in the springtime, my great grandmother's people, the single women and the single men, would do this ritual where the single men would be in a circle facing outwards. So super tight with their shoulders together facing outwards. The women would be facing inwards. Now, the women would have bells, because there's a lot of magic with bells.
Okay.
It's a calling in. So the women would have bells on their hips. So they would do a dance, and the men would stand still, and they would do a dance around the men. Now, the story goes is that when a woman is excited by a particular person, she would move her hips a little bit more.
Mm.
And you would notice that the bell was ringing a little bit more, and that's how they would find a partner, or how they were subconsciously drawn to somebody through dance. And that is where Ring My Bell comes from.
No way.
Yes.
That.
Right? hip belts with bells on the side. This is an ancient tradition. So if you're ringing my bell, then that's because I am, when I'm dancing, I'm just drawn to you. My hips go a little bit faster and it's like, ding, ding, ding.
Your hips don't lie.
Exactly.
I've done, let's say not a minimal amount of research. Mm-hmm. But I've done a fair amount of the questions this month that people have sent in. A lot of time consuming stuff. But
wow.
You do fire dancing. You incorporate mm-hmm. flames into your dance routines.
Yes, I do.
Is there a magical element to that, or is it yes. just cool and kind of scary?
No, it's magical element. Okay. I always do the south. Which we should talk about. We should talk about the directions too.
Okay.
Remind me.
Cool.
Because that's important in sex magic. But in opening circles and doing everything. But the south is the element of fire. I spent the majority of my childhood in Florida. I grew up in Florida. And I see that as kind of like where I'm from. And then I moved here, and there's that element of the heat that I love. It's the symbol of passion, of compassion, of like getting stuff done, that energy that pushes you over the top. And in circle, when I've sat in coven circles, I always sit in the south. I always call the south, and I've always called the south because it's fire, passion. That's my jam. That's all the magic I use. So I wanted to use that in my routines. The thing is that when you call in that element, you have to be very careful. My house burned to the ground in 2011. There's like a lot of fiery things around me, but fire also boosts you so much as well. So yeah. So I'm a phoenix.
Tell me about directions as they relate to sex magic. What's the story there?
So the thing you can do if you're working with a partner,
okay,
you want to call in all of the directions on them. So for instance, you call in a traditional circle. If you're sitting with a coven and you're calling in the directions, it's no different than when you're having sex magic ritual, because you want to create literally a magical circle with your partner. So what you would do is you're going to take, for the east, it's new beginnings. It's the element of air. So you're going to take a feather mm-hmm. and maybe drag it over your partner. And the thing that I love about sex magic is it's not just about sex. It's about sensuality.
Okay.
Side note, something my grandmother would do is she read palms, and she believed that, of course, that each one of these lines in your palms is a story of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So when she was reading somebody, she believed that if you put some kind of oil or wash their hands. So you could use oils like orange oil, lemon oil, any kind of the brightening citrus oils. And if you rub them into the palms of your hand, she believed that it made the story of your life sweeter or brighter. So when somebody else does it for you, it's an enchantment. It's a beautiful gift that you could give to another human being. It's harder to do on your own self. Even though we wash our hands all the time,
yeah.
If somebody gives you the gift of giving you a sacred present of putting oils in the lines of your palm, that is the beginnings of sex magic, even though it's not technically fucking per se, excuse me, but sex magic includes all of the sensual nature in the world. So that is an element of sex magic. So then you would do something to, you know, you could take the feather, you can put it on the bottom of your, drag it across the back of your partner's knees, really just make it happen. Like every single inch. And then as you get to the south, like I said, that's the element of fire, of passion, doing things where you burn sage or make your own incense or get incense where you can burn something around them. I also like candle wax on me. Again, going back to the kink, but that's not everybody's jam. So, like, that would be my personal thing. And I hope my parents aren't listening. And, Mom, turn the radio off. We're going to have a disclaimer for that. So the west is the element of water.
Yeah.
Now, what I love is using ice cubes. And one of the spells my grandma used to do when I was little is taking an ice cube tray, and you'd put words those beautiful words that we want to birth into the world about ourselves. You write them on tiny slips of paper, you scroll them, you put them in an ice cube tray, you put water all over them, you freeze them in your thing. So when you get those out for play with your partner, when you're doing sex magic, and then you put them over your partner's skin as they're melting on your partner's skin. Now, those words are literally almost as if there's a baby in a mother's stomach. It is your word encased in an ice cube, and it is about to be born in the world through this powerful magic that you're about to do. So you can put those ice cubes all over your partner and just kind of really, as they melt with the heat of you and your partner together, and until those words are literally birthed from the ice cubes. The North is about the element of earth. There's so many things you can do. If it's not super hot outside, it's nice to get stones or rocks where you can heat them up and put them on your partner's body. You have to be really careful, though, because you don't want to overheat them. Do you know what I'm saying? Because that's the bones of the earth.
Would you do that in an oven, or just from like a mechanical standpoint, how would you go about that?
Well, what I would, you could do it in an oven, but you want to watch it. You want to make sure it's okay. I have also boiled rocks.
Ah, good call.
So you can throw them in boiling water, and then it kind of boils all whatever is not awesome on them, but let them cool down, let the water cool down. But then what you could do is you could get a strainer, throw them through a strainer, what are those things called that you... Spaghetti.
Colander?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. And then you could put them through there, and then they will hold the heat. So, because rocks hold heat, and they are the bones of the earth. So that's a great thing to do. You could also, if you're outside and adventurous, you could cover parts of your partner with mud. You could write on them with mud, because that's the earth. You can pour rose petals all over them, because that's from the earth as well. So there's a lot of different things you could do for earth. And I recommend, and everyone that works with me, all of my students that I've had over the years, I always tell them, because like I said, I've never read a sex magic book ever. The best magic that we can create, I'm guiding you guys right now, and we're talking about this right now, but you might have an idea that's far better than anything that I can come up with my mind at this moment, is something that's better for you. And I feel like we're all our own magicians, and that you shouldn't just go off of what I'm saying. Like, please go way further. Please. Please go way further than any book or any written thing, because if we want to expand ourselves in the magic universe, we have to be willing to go further. Otherwise, we'd be doing the same magic over and over and over. And I'm so excited to bring tradition from my family to this and to what I'm doing, and I do my own magic as well based on their traditions and spell work that I come up with and test out and try. So
once you've welcomed in and activated all of the directions, what happens next?
Well, you can do lots of things. I'm really into one thing that my grandmother would do. Strange talking about my grandmother in a sex magic radio show, but my grandmother would do things as far as like healing, what I was talking about with the lines of the hands. What she would do is she would take a bowl of water, and she would wash hands. If you were needing healing, she would take you and wash your hands. And again, that's a sensual caretaking thing. Now, if you bring that over into sex magic and bring it with your partner, and you're sitting across from them, and you have a bowl, and, you know, I like putting rose petals in it. I do this also. I do one-on-one sessions with people for, like, love healing rituals.
Okay.
Totally, you know, it's not a sex thing. It's just disclaimer. It is
everything's above board.
Everything is above board. It is like one-on-one healing. I have a lot of women that come to me, and I lay them out kind of on a massage table. I do this at a local place down the street that's a healing center, and I will cover them with rose petals. I wash their hands, and I wash their hands with intention to take care of them, and to like put that sweetness and that sauciness in their life. I also love, in terms of sex magic, like washing your partner's feet, having them wash your feet. You're kind of worshiping each other. I like to go through all of the things of worship and not just like getting down to the business, because every basic person is going to do that, and we're not basic. if you're listening to the show, you're not basic. So we're talking about the ritual element of all of the things we can do to each other to bring pleasure and make incredible things happen. So I'm really into washing. I'm really into, I want to do a quick side note. Something that is very important to me that I want to talk about. And I think that, the story of Scheherazade and the 1001 Nights,
okay.
In Arabian Nights. And, the Sultan marries, he had his heart broken. He marries a new wife every night who's a virgin. They are together during the night and he kills her the next morning. And then he takes another bride every single day. I kind of, not being overly dramatic, but I kind of feel like that kind of happens on some kind of level in our modern day world.
Hmm.
With ladies that are coming to me for healing sessions and they're talking to me about Tinder, and it seems to be kind of a thing that's like seamless, like ordering up human beings.
Yeah.
And I've had women come to me and say, I ended up sleeping with this guy because I wasn't ready, or I wasn't like feeling a super connection, but I knew that if I left, he could just swipe on somebody else and somebody else would be available. And I'm just like, no, people, let's not do this to each other. Male, female, whoever you are, whatever's happening, let's come to each other as this temple space and really create magic. And in that story of the Arabian Nights, what happens is Scheherazade, on the first night that she's with the Sultan, she tells him the story and there's a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, hold up. Well, what happens? And she's like, I'll tell you tomorrow. And so the next, so he doesn't kill her. She's the first one he doesn't kill the next day.
Yeah.
So she has a continuing story. And then the next night it's cliffhanger. And the next night it's cliffhanger continuously until he falls madly in love with her. And then they're together for the rest of their lives. So my world and what my personal theory is all about Scheherazade had something to teach us.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like creating mystery and suspense in your sex life, sensual life, relationship is so important. And I think if you have that element of mystery and you give tiny little rituals of this and that and do it over a course of time, it builds up the connection that you have together and it builds up the love before actually delving into the hardcore hot sex part in whatever way you want to have sex with another human being. And I feel like we should worship each other a little bit more. I don't think we do that enough. And I think the whole like bathing each other, so after, over the course of time,
yeah,
with your question, going back to that.
Oh yeah. The floor is yours.
I've got a lot to say.
This is great. Sorry, you were going to say, and then we got distracted.
So, over a course of time, some things that you can do with a partner are bathing, I think, are really important. Calling in the elements on your partner. You could also paint on each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can paint words on each other so that you can, for instance, so you're with a partner and you have them paint the word that you want on you, and they see it on your chest over your heart, and you paint their word on them.
Yeah.
So that when you're climaxing/dying, when they're climaxing/dying, they are seeing you, mm-hmm, as your greatest self with this word painted on you, because that's magic too, because you're putting it out there into another person who's creating magic,
right,
powerful magic for you. And you're creating powerful magic for them. Because obviously, if you're with a fucking right partner, you both want to create amazing magic for each other and just lift each other up.
Right.
So painting is a really good thing. So you could do that with a partner as well as solo in a mirror. You can do things like write down words, and then you can put them on a piece of paper, and then put it in your mouth when you're having that moment,
mm-hmm,
kind of bite on it. That's a good thing. What other goodies can I give you? I can give you a side thing if you have a crush on somebody.
Oh yeah,
tell me a crush on somebody. Y'all in Radio Land have a crush on somebody, because I'm about to give you a good little trick.
Got a scoop.
Mm.
Big time.
Little sex magic spell. Okay, so this is scientific.
Hit me.
When it's about science, people. When you are solo magicking and you are getting to that space, if you wear say you're going to go out on a date that night and you got a super crush on this person, or say you know this person works at a certain place and you're going to go visit them or they're going to see you or whatever, you would wear the outfit that you are going to wear later on when you see them, and you would wear this outfit while you are creating your own solo sex magic. Then when you are hitting your peak and having your amazing orgasm / death experience, right during that time, male and female, our nipples actually secrete pheromones at that moment, male and female.
Huh.
So if you press the fabric of what you are wearing against your nipples, you're actually perfuming yourself with your own pheromones at that moment, so that they will be able to subconsciously pick up your jam.
Yeah.
And if the jam is mutual, then it's on.
Word.
Yeah.
That's serious.
It is serious. And if they're not, because we are attracted to different things and different pheromones we're called to different ones. So we all have different scents. We're animals. We all have different scents that we're into. So if my pheromones aren't your jam, then at least we know right then and there.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Or if they are, then it's just like, what's happening now?
Okay, these are great tips and tricks. I'm curious. This is like a personal curiosity thing, and I don't know if it's going to make it in the interview just because like all this is solid gold.
No, give it.
But
I need to write a book.
So you've been figuring this out on your own, without books, without resources, which actually puts you in a good way in the tradition of Aleister Crowley, not with all the bad stuff, just like this is something he did too. But he did in a pyramid, so way to go there. So like, what was that process like? Did you suddenly find things happening after you engaged in these sorts of practices in a very like early beginner kind of way, or did you like set out intentionally like, I'm gonna crack this case of how to harness the power of my sexual self?
Well, that is an excellent question. I will say that I am naturally a very sensual person, and that from the time that I was a teenager, I discovered the joys of masturbation, and I felt like it took me to a different plane. And I was like, you know, as a teenager living in South Florida who has nothing to do but go to the mall for hours and doesn't have money to buy anything, masturbation is pretty fucking awesome. And so I'm just like, let's just do this. What can I do with this? How can I create more magic, or what can I do? And I came across something that in French, orgasms are called les petites morts, which is the little death.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what's that about? And then I realized, I researched that, and I read the thing about the fact that, you know, we actually, our heart stops beating for a moment. And then I thought to myself, well, I mean, my grandmother would speak to spirits, and the spirits occasionally speak to me. I can't control that.
Mm.
They come, they don't. They show up random times. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? I've already got this kind of other side thing. And I've already been growing up with the other side regularly as a normal thing in our household. And I was like, so in theory, on the other side, I can do all this amazing stuff. Like, that's where you get all the answers. That's where you get the answers of why and what was life about. And you get all of those things.
Yeah.
So I thought, how can I, again, grab that pen to write my life? And I just started experimenting. And I'm a very visual person. So writing down things, painting is a huge thing. You know, working with the mirror and seeing those things. And these are concepts that I did based off of concepts that were taught to me by my grandmother. Mm. So mirror magic concept from my grandmother.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, hold up. What happens if I die a little bit in my mirror? What happens if I paint something while looking in the mirror, so it's right side on the other side, hell yeah, let's do this, yeah. You know? And it's, I just used my imagination and I was like, how can I go further with this? And I felt like the things that I was doing was working. And actually, I've been doing a lot of experimenting lately with things that are blowing my mind. There is a thing about breath right now that I'm stumbling on that came to me in a dream. And I'm realizing I had a dream, long story short, about the goddess of love. And the goddess of love was double the size of it was like 8 stories high.
Yeah.
And she came down to me and I realized she took my face and she went to kiss me and she breathed into my mouth. And I realized that she was reviving me, that part of her breath was in my body. And then right at the end of the kiss, she went, and I realized she took in part of me as well. And this was a very powerful thing to me. And when I just recently did a ritual with 16 women in a river in upstate New York, and we did a marrying ourselves ritual that I channeled. And part of it is through this, because I do a lot of channeling. All of us can do it.
Okay.
You just tap into it. It's your imagination. It's the things you can get when you open your mind. And what happened was we all were in this river together in white dresses. And I did a thing where I sucked in the air and I blew in one girl's mouth and took in part of her air, and then she did it to the girl next to her. We were in a circle. There was hand movements involved, and it was where we were all kind of sealing this deal, this magical deal together. And I said, the thing is that you never have to be alone. Like, we were marrying ourselves, but I was like, we never have to be alone because now our breath is all intertwined. So even when we're alone, we can put our hand next to our face and blow our breath into our hand and kind of know that those other women are there with us, like powerful and cheering us on. And when the moon is just right, I feel like when I talk, there are other elements in my voice that are not my own. And I know it's the women in my voice as well and all of their tapestry woven into my vocal cords.
Huge thanks to Veronica Barlow. That was an amazing, amazing amount of information she was able to give, and it was so kind of her and generous to give her time for the show. If you want to learn more about her or see her performances or take one of her classes in magic, highly recommend that, or to participate in one of her broadcasted rituals, which she does on a weekly basis on Saturdays, you should check out her website, dangerdame.com. That's danger, DAME.com. She also has another website, Danger Diary, and you can follow her on Twitter at Veronica Barlow. You know, that interview was a really wonderful experience for me for 1,000 different reasons. But one of the things that really hits home for me is that, you know, I'm a researcher at heart. I'm a scholastic wizard. So when someone sends in a question, for example, that one about impotence we talked about earlier, I just hit the books really hard. Like, when I got that question, specifically the one about impotence, I went to a 12th century Kabbalistic manuscript called The Sword of Moses, which had Aramaic incantations for giving a person a miscarriage, for making somebody blind, but nothing about impotence. The closest I found was a spell to cure venereal disease, which presumably if you did it backwards, because that seems to be how that spell book works, if you do one spell backwards, it will have the opposite effect. You could give someone a venereal disease, but I don't know, I feel like that's making something harder than it needs to be. So if you want to talk to us about witchcraft things you do, or if you want to send a question for us to look into, our research department and all that, contact us at intothedarkrfb@gmail.com or tweet at me at Cooper Wilhelm. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We have time for at least one more listener question, I think. So let's get into this. Dear Into the Dark, can you perform necromancy on the limbs of someone who is still alive but has lost a limb? For example, if you needed to find information on a tattoo from someone's severed leg. This is an interesting question. It's a little difficult because necromancy, first off, for those who are unfamiliar with the practice, is primarily raising the dead. But the thing is, most necromancy is done to gain information. The idea is that you bring a dead person partially back to life so you can ask them questions about things they knew about when they were alive or things they know about because they're on the other side. As Veronica Bravo mentioned, there's a lot of information available out there past the veil of death. But there can be much more sort of a corporeal form of bringing someone back to life with necromancy. It's a very involved process. I'm kind of against it just because I don't have the time. I've done a lot of research into necromancy, and it's more labor intensive than making soup dumplings. It's the worst. But I did some research. Apparently there was a lot of speculation in folklore in the Middle Ages that the Roman poet Virgil was a necromancer. And in a letter that Conrad de Quivilfort wrote in 1196, he explained a narrative in which Virgil, who was thought to have become a necromancer when he freed a bunch of demons from a bottle, that he had produced a meat market in which none of the meat ever went bad for 6 weeks, which feels like a version of what we're talking about, though a bit more on the nose. There's a passage in the Ramayanan, which is a Sanskrit text many centuries old, that talks about a voyage to a mountain on which there are four sacred herbs, each with properties of restorative nature. And more, and most sort of directly related to what we're talking about, is Marita Sanjeevani, which is said to restore life. And Sandhani, which is said to join together severed limbs. And there's actually been clinical research recently into trying to figure out what exactly these herbs were supposed to be. Is there a botanical analogy? Is there a referent that we can use? And so one study, Decca et al., 1994, in the Indian Journal of Pharmacology, thought they had found a version of Sandhani, the mystical herb that restores severed limbs. And they did a study on six dogs in which they saw if it could benefit in the healing process after broken bones. And I'm going to post a link to that study on the website, which you can peruse at your leisure if you really want to ruin your day. But the conclusion was essentially that it sort of works. Not a lot, but a bit, which is certainly something. So we're coming up on the end of our time for this episode of Into the Dark here on Radio Free Brooklyn. And I want to thank you all for joining me for this great conversation about sex magic and the magical possibilities inherent in all of us. And I want you to take that opportunity to remember that sex magic is something you can do by yourself or with a partner. But it's all about worshiping those around you and worshiping yourself a little bit and finding that power inside and exploring and using your imagination. Not all magic is written down in books. You have to go find it yourself, like Veronica Varlo did. Have a good night, everybody. Stick around for Why Do We Ever Win?